Listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said they were filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all living in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thanks be to God.
Na Pentecost da no toy no, na won nyina ehia faako. Na empofrim no, ehun bi a etesem frama, a emu ye den, a erebo firi soro bae, na ebehye won a wote ho no mu. Na tachrema a wapapa emu a etise uja yichre won, na ebesisi won etifi mako mako. Na hon krum krum yi won yina ama, na wofri ase kasa kasa foforo, sedi a hon krum hum no ma won se wonka. Na Petro ni du bako no sore jinae, na omane ne so kachre won se, "Yu damba mbere ma ne mwa moti Yerusalem yina, munhunu ye na moma mensem ye a mekan yi nkɔ masum na ye nomro nsa sɛ ne amususu yi efri sɛ e ya de chen mu don a etɔso miensa na ye ni nia odifo Yoel kai no sɛ onyankopɔn sɛ na ebeba sɛ na a edi a kyire no mu no mehwie me honhon kronkron agu honam nyinaa so na moma merema ne mo a mama ashenkom no sorry na moma berema ne moma ma ashenkom se moma enhunhunu enisode na mompeni asoso dai se ne ahonhom de kachire asafo no amen
amen amen. Please join despair, loss, and infirmity. A cerebral hemorrhage had left him paralyzed on one side, and he was unable to walk for 4 years, or even write. At the age of 60, after several failed attempts at composing an opera, he spiraled down into more debt and despair, and he assumed that all of his meaning for life was over. It was at that time that a friend gave him a challenge to write a sacred oratorio and dedicate it to God. For 24 days, the man isolated himself, read the Bible, and he worked, sometimes without eating, for days at a time. The new work was far more ambitious than anything he had ever attempted, more grand, with lyrics taken straight from Scripture. At the lowest point of this man's life, he took the biggest risk. This man's name? George Friedrich Handel. The work? Messiah. Millions of people have heard and sung, especially that heart-lifting chorus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with those final hallelujahs so heavenly that I could imagine the angels themselves singing them. One wonders, was Handel's work inspired by God? Well, no doubt in my mind. Otherwise, I do not believe we would be singing it nearly 280 years later. I often kid with Sarah when we listen to some song on the radio or some pop song. I say, will people be singing this song in 25, 30, 50 years? And she says, stop being so cynical. I think it's probably true to say that a song written now will probably not be sung 280 years from now. Handel's work was no doubt the result of his deep prayer, of his commitment to God's word, and most importantly, the reliance on the Holy Spirit that took him on, the Sarah said, that twisty path, an unexpected, joyful journey that resulted in a work that we all still sing today. Is this story unique? Do we see this in other times in history? Well, let's just take a jaunt into the Bible, shall we? There was once a man and a woman who were very old and had given up on having a child. And yet, God made a promise and kept it. Their names? Abraham and Sarah. There was once a man who went out fishing and just was about to give up. And it was day, the whole day. Nothing had happened until a man walked along the shore and told him to cast his nets on the other side of the boat. The fisherman? Peter. The man on the shore? Jesus. Or the woman who suffered bleeding for 12 years and who had literally felt her life force leaving her, in a final act of desperation, stretches out her hand to touch a man and is healed. Unfortunately, that woman's name is never given to us, but the man she touches is Jesus. Or a man whose lifeless body hung on a cross, who declares it is finished and his body is delivered to the tomb dead on arrival. Until that third day, when a surprise happened that surpassed all those stories that went before. It can seem hard sometimes to relate these stories of God's surprising work when we are in our personal times of uncertainty, when we feel hope is lost, whether it's about a health issue or a family issue or a financial issue. But I would venture to say that if we look back over our lives, we can recall when God showed up, when a way was found through some seemingly impossible situation, when we found a peace to carry on when we thought we never could. So why do we doubt when God shows up again? Or we're surprised? In a way, it's like a surprise party that friends throw for somebody year after year, and that person still gets caught off guard when they walk through the door into the darkness and all of a sudden the lights come up with shouts of, surprise! They're like, whoa, again! Again! Peter, the apostles, had heard the promise in John's gospel. At one point, Jesus breathes on them as kind of that foretaste. You call it an appetizer of the Holy Spirit. So they were indeed surprised, perhaps again, and now not just them, these followers, this group who had gathered together on this Jewish festival, Shavuot, which is the Hebrew festival marking the giving of the law or the Torah. No doubt they were as surprised as when Moses got the law from God. We, I think, tend to look at this text and we focus on the atmospheric phenomena, the violent wind, the divided tongues of the spirit like fire, the sudden ability to speak in other languages and to be understood by those walking by. But I think the greatest surprise here is the effect on Jesus' followers. You see, from that moment on, they took the message of Jesus' power and love to the world with a new boldness, confident that they were ministering not with their own resources, but rather with the inexhaustible resources from above. They were less afraid at this point of defying Roman authority. They were more courageous and fired up messengers who had something to say to all people. That's what we're hearing here, people of all nations. No longer in the small area of Judea, no longer in hiding or waiting, no longer of worrying about when is Jesus going to show up. Folks, Jesus showed up. And now there's good news to tell. Suddenly, these apostles have focus. Their stories will ensue in this Acts of the Apostles book that we have. There will be stories we've heard, stories of courage, stories of fearlessness. We hear about a people ready to listen to these messages who are then drawn to them. And then they too become bold Jesus followers. The Act of the Apostles becomes, I believe, in many ways, the oratorio of our faith. It is the good news that we declare over 2,000 years later that still lifts our hearts and that still has the power to transform lives. God threw the ultimate surprise party 2,000 years ago to celebrate the church's birthday. Are we still partying? Are we so caught up in that joyous good news that we have given ourselves over to that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time? What I just quoted to you is from the book of Peter. Those are Peter's attributed words. Are we ready to face the world knowing that God has thrown us a party to give us a spirit? That we are able to face any trial or hardship or adversity, any threat to hope within this world or within our very lives with a confidence in the good news in which we stand and by which we are being saved? Yes. Yes, we are. I declare to you that we are able. Because of the gift that God gave the church, that gave it birth, and is still with us today. It is still at work, unifying people. It is still at work, tearing down the power systems that dehumanize and demean God's children. It is still at work to give you the boldness that you never thought you could have, but is there for your taking to use in blessing God's people with God's word of assurance and love and message of hope. Friends, this is a great day. I'm so glad we're here together, two congregations united by this common reality that we are one in the Spirit. And it is good. And it is joyful. And it is a word we have to take outside these walls to a world that is joyless, to a world that gives up on hope, to a world that looks at everything around it and says, this world is going to hell. We say, no, this world has been delivered by the one who came to save it, and it is in God's hands forever and ever and ever. Amen. And so, with joyful hearts, we should all sing together that great refrain, and he shall reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.